Hello, thanks for listening to the Kept Faith Podcast. I'm Nick McCann. I'm joined by Travis Russell.
Hey, go Padres. It's finally here, Nick. We're ready for opening day. Here we go.
Yeah, this offseason was a journey for all of us. I think we're ready for real baseball to start. And right before this, or I guess right when the season started, the Padres were in Korea and some big news dropped. We brought on a special guest, our Dodgers correspondent, I think we're calling you now, because you've
That's
done it so many times.
Okay. You gotta be fair to me. You know, I'm not a pure Dodgers fan.
I know. I got you.
Padres.
Yeah.
Follow it closely, for sure.
He's a Dodgers fan and a trusted voice in San Diego media. Carlo Cicchetto. How's it going, Carlo?
Great to be here. I look forward to seeing you guys. It's an annual thing. Which was got to see you at a game sometime soon. But always a pleasure. You guys do a fantastic job, and it's fun to be a part of this.
Sure. And Carlo is a great follow on Twitter, and you can catch him on TV on Channel 8. And so the whole baseball world just kind of folded over the last week with the news that your new free agent acquisition, Shohei Ohtani, has a little bit of a gambling scandal that he's involved with. I think that's the best way to put it. I think everybody that's probably listening to this now is pretty much caught up on it. I mean, he basically, I don't know how you want, it's really hard to map out this entire story, but his interpreter was given money from Ohtani to pay off a gambling debt. That's the story. And
that's his story.
Yeah. And Ohtani has basically separated himself from it. There's an MLB investigation, and Dodgers fans and Padres fans have a lot of ammunition now going into the season, which is something we needed. I think, Travis, I think I can speak for you on that. This has been a lot of fun, but it is also a massive sports story. And Carlo, I mean, you work in the media. How do you feel? Like, where are we right now with this story? I mean, it's obviously not over. We're going to find out more after this podcast, and it's amazing. What's your take on it?
We're on pause waiting to get more info. Like, more people are digging into it and looking into it. We have the fact that we know investigations are going on. We have confusing stories. We have a best case scenario for Ohtani is that he wasn't paying attention to his money at all and let somebody like get into his accounts and use his money, which isn't great, but it's not terrible. The worst case scenario is that he was gambling and using his interpreter as a front. That's what the kind of the two sides to this, the extremes are, I would say, because even if you're defending him, the best case is that he wasn't really keeping an eye on his own thing, own stuff that great, and very much trusted too much into somebody who was much more, it wasn't just an interpreter, right? People have talked, it's been like his best friend and business partner here over the years. It's a very close, intimate relationship. And apparently let down his guard, like again, on the best case scenario, or used him as a cover in the worst case scenario.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the biggest question that people have is that, like, how could this interpreter on his salary run up this kind of debt with a bookie? And that seems to be the crux of the questions that need to be answered. It's like, how could this just be a rogue actor in his life doing this, and he's just bailing him out? It doesn't sound like that's possible, really, but he's going to be playing games this week. He's not suspended yet. What do you think? I mean, for the Dodgers are kind of the center of the baseball world right now. This team was supposed to be, you know, it could have been, had a chance to be one of the greatest teams ever assembled. It still does. But what kind of shadow do you think this casts on the consensus favorite to win the National League West?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to watch right now in that kind of lull as we're waiting for more. I don't know about you, but when I'm looking, there's a lot of the stuff that's out there, at least in social media, is people going, well, ain't that interesting? Baseball having a gambling problem, or pro sports, period. Somebody had a tweet that was kind of mocking it. It's like, we have this DraftKings report brought to you by X casino, right?
Yes.
Like, that's the whole thing. Like, gambling money is underpinning the sports industry, and at least sports media industry, in so many ways right now. So we're seeing a lot of that, people going, you know, talking about the recriminations of that, and like what we're not really seeing right now. So you have that, people questioning that. You have the golden boy for Major League Baseball. Like, we can take aside like the Dodger fandom part. Like, Major League Baseball really appreciates having Ohtani. Just the
Yes.
spectacle of him as a
Yeah.
star.
He's almost perfect. I mean, he was perfect until this, right?
Exactly. And he hadn't done anything. To be fair, there's no one who has been a teammate, nobody's been around him, has suggested that he's involved in gambling. Everybody who's been around is like, his teammate said he didn't even pay attention to other sports. Like, he just wanted to play baseball. Like, he's a hyper-focused guy. And that may be the reason why he kind of let other things go. And you can understand that the type of perfection he was trying to achieve pitching and hitting. With some athletes, they can be that kind of hyper-focused. And when they make that kind of money, they let other people take care of their money and take care of their stuff. So it's not out of this world to think that he had let go of the reins in that part of his life. But again, that's the positive spin on it, or at least the positive viewpoint and hope.
Right.
Yeah. And I it does get more. I mean, the baseball gambling, I mean, sports and gambling, it's gone hand in hand for so long. And baseball has a unique relationship to it with the way, the Major League Baseball commissioner is created basically out of the Black Sox scandal. Pete Rose, probably the greatest player of the 70s, goes down in the late 80s for it. And it seems like it has a deeper hold in baseball. So this is at this time when we're starting to bring in DraftKings and FanDuel, and gambling is becoming normalized for the fan experience. And this guy's a sports fan himself, maybe, or he's around people that are. He's probably an ultra competitive person, and it just comes out, and it's at the worst time as the biggest face in the league goes to the biggest market, and they're on the precipice of a season that could be historic, and it's just wow. Yeah, I don't
There's
know.
so many problems for Ohtani in this. Like, there's a real legal, I think an FBI investigation, I believe, I can't remember
Right.
the entity, looking into the financial dealings of this bookie, because those bets were not made legally. So there's that aspect. And so the
Right.
wire transfer issue, if he was involved. So there's that middle of the road scenario where Ohtani really thought he was helping out a friend who had made a mistake, because let's be real, like, $4 million for Ohtani is nothing. I mean, it doesn't sound like it, but he's made how much over the last just 5 years in the United States? A couple hundred million at least already.
Yeah, just endorsements alone that,
Yeah,
yes, pocket change.
the money to me, people saying it's a lot. I'm like, I just, if this person was that close to him, you could see him going, "I'll bail you out. I'll take care of this. We'll figure it out." But even that is massively problematic for baseball, because there's still a connection of a player to a gambling entity. Like, there's still a question of integrity there. It's not the same as betting. It's not the same as if he was doing it, but there is a problem there. There's a problem of the kind of influence and outside force gambling could have on the game, because what if they're like, "Well, you've already paid us. We're not going to let you off the hook. We're going to go public with this or whatever and tell people you are gambling unless you do." Like, so there, if he did
Yeah.
even the altruistic, "I'm looking out for my friend" way, I think it's a big problem for baseball and for him.
Yeah. And this is something that's going to fall at the feet of the current commissioner, Rob Manfred. And I'm not a fan. I don't think he's handled a lot of the big issues that have come up for him, and this is about as complicated as it can get for him. And I don't know about you. I don't have a lot of confidence in him to handle this the right way in front of the camera talking. I mean, he's really not talking that much about it yet. Can baseball afford this right now? I mean, that's the biggest question. It's like, will this be handled correctly? I think we were DMing about it earlier. I would love to hear what David Stern would talk about, like if he saw this, in his retirement, like if he saw this and he kind of, it's no secret that he kind of went through this with Michael Jordan, who in 1993, when this is, he's about the same level as Ohtani almost,
Oh God,
Yeah, I mean, it's like the face of the league gambling. What do you
stepped
do?
away mysteriously for a couple, retired.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, the
And
one thing.
there's no evidence that anything happened like that. And David Stern always said that he never would have gotten rid of his biggest cash cow at the height of his powers. But that is something that even if it's not real, the commissioner has to navigate that. And I have a lot of concerns about Manfred's ability to do that. I don't know about you. I don't know about you guys, but
I'm I'm not too worried about that because I think once you got the fact that there is a potential, I guess it is a criminal investigation related to that bookie being here, it makes the stakes for MLB being transparent much higher, and their ability to obfuscate and kind of hide, it makes that much more difficult for them because there's going to be this other entity looking into it and people are going to find out. So I don't worry about that aspect too much. I guess I'm just, it's just a whatever it is, I'm just hopeful that he wasn't gambling. And but for that team, already facing ridiculous expectations and attention, this is, the players were already having to deal with every question being about Ohtani. Now it's going to be about Ohtani and the gambling scandal and how it's affecting you. Is that why you struck out tonight? It's like, is that why the team's not doing well if they start slow? It is like less than ideal for them.
Don't you think there's a big elephant in the room though that no one, at least I haven't heard it talked about much, but like Major League Baseball is, and most sports is starting to generate most of their revenue
So
from
much.
gambling. So there's this weird, it's almost like I don't, I just can't think of a better analogy, but like a porn company coming out and saying like, don't watch sex. You know, it's so weird that we have this dichotomy where they're so benefiting from it and yet shaming anything that comes close to it. It's
Well, I know.
not that get players should gamble on the game,
Right.
but it's there's such a razor thin edge there that
The
I
part of
don't know
the
how they manage it.
Part of this for them that's a plus is that it's the bookie involved is an illegal bookie, allegedly. But that's the thing that gives them some distance, and they can at least go, well, we're only with legitimate legal gambling.
Exactly.
So
But
they're like,
I think the other scenario, I think the
fine.
other scenario that you're mapping out is going to happen, right? I mean, there's going to be a player who's using a legal channel that's supported by a league, and he's going to get too deep into it. I don't know enough about like those sites and how like the I guess you would say the over-the-counter
Well, we've
sites
seen
with the,
it in the NFL, right? We've already it's starting, and that's a lot of the conversation these days. Like I was saying, it's like we're going to see a lot more different scale, but we're going to see a lot of players getting their hands caught in the gambling cookie jar in some form because we're so enmeshed it with gambling and with all these leagues. It's inevitable. It's apps on our phone. It's so easy to do. It's all that.
Well, I want to
Well, I
see.
just.
I really want to see how if these sites come across, say some, high profile player is just legally gambling on a FanDuel or I guess it's DraftKings or something like that that's above board and it's a sponsored site by their league and they get bust and do, at what point do does the tech company get called out for reporting it at the right time to the league? Is there going to be some kind of infrastructure on that? It's
I
such a
haven't
new,
really
it's a
deep
new
enough.
world. It really is.
Yeah,
It's like
I haven't dug in deep enough in some of the other ones to know.
Well, and you guys, the player's temptation or whoever is only going to get like kind of like the steroid thing where you found new ways to get the compounds in ways that were legal or whatever. L listen to these numbers. So last year, legal sport, this is the legal side, jumped 44% to 10, almost $11 billion.
Yeah.
Major League Baseball indirectly had almost 4.2 billion of that, 1.1 legal, but the revenue generated from baseball alone was over $4 billion last year.
And that's
That's
legal. It's huge. It's crazy.
huge money.
And so it's triggering a conversation that baseball is not going to want to have. No sport is going to want to. But again, for them, at least they get the plausible deniability of, well, we're not involved with them because that's illegal. And we have guardrails on what we use. Nobody would get in debt to $4 million with like just so many different things about that they could say. But it's still there. It's still the, yeah, but you guys get paid a lot for gambling.
Well,
Hey,
let
I mean, they could embrace it and just like start gambling on like the hat thing on the board
I
instead of
mean
just
they
guessing
I
to. You
think
could
it's
start betting
coming.
on it. Like, yeah, guess if Ohtani's going to strike out on your app to start hitting the
Oh
numbers
man.
right there. It's a slippery slope, right? Like,
It's
where
not
do you
my
draw the
preferred play.
line?
It's fortunate, but I could just see it just being, I can understand how it's so addicting for people and they just end up in a bad
Hell
place.
yeah.
And
Yeah,
I
that's
just,
why I don't touch it.
I hope there's a lot of
I don't
guardrails in
absolutely.
those tech people because, oof.
The numbers are insane. So crazy, crazy.
Well, gambling scandal aside, the Dodgers, assuming Otani's going to play every game and not be affected by this, the Dodgers are in position to be the winner of the NL West. I think that should happen if everything goes well. But you know that the Diamondbacks are coming. Are they were in the World Series last year, so
they got Montgomery today, right?
Yeah. So they might have the best coach in the division. Also, I like him a lot. The Padres are trying to compete in this division, and the Giants, you know, they have Bob Melvin this year. It's a fun bunch at the top four. The Rockies are still pretty much
the Rockies.
And, you know, that's a problem. You know, that's too bad for their fan base. I feel for them, but yeah.
Be careful. They're going to be like in second place in July. I know. Don't fall off, but just be careful.
Crazier things have happened, but no, we have four teams that, you know, that could be battling it out, at least, you know, at the top of the division, and somebody's, I imagine two of those teams aren't going to be happy at the end of the year. There's so many exciting things happening with, you know, the Padres this year. We have a new manager, and well, I mean, just as a Dodgers fan living in this city, looking in, how do you feel about also rooting for the Padres, you know? How do you feel about what's going on with the Padres this year? There's, you know,
I like
there's
Schill.
New manager.
I think Schill.
You like Schill.
I like Schill. Okay. I like everything about him. He's got a good vibe. You know, he's already, like, you've seen how he's dealt with the media and stuff and pop bubbles real quick. He's affable. So, you know, not creating any kind of weird barrier with the fan base and that kind of thing is really nice. You know, he's got his work cut out for him with some of the roster questions. But I feel like, you know, he has a great track record. So whatever happened with Melvin and Preller being misaligned, I know you guys love that part, the alignment that's going on now. That's a good step if they really are, because it's always good to be speaking the same language, the GM and the manager, and being on the same page. The roster stuff, I go back and forth, and I know you guys do. Like, you know, I look at Junior, and they're like, even like Jackson Merrill and Ha-Sung, and then I look at some of the rest of the roster. I'm almost like, man, would it almost be wise to like blow up the rest of the roster and then just try to rebuild around those guys, like in a 2 and 3 year window, you know? Because I like the young arms they got. I think Merrill's. I mean, Merrill looks. His D is good, and he looks. I mean, he's just an athlete. His stroke is great. Like, he's exciting. And then you have the possibility that Salas could be something special coming up behind him. Like, you know, what it's such a, you know. And then you have the interruption of the Seidler vision and dream. And is that something that they were going all in? And then, unfortunately, him passing away, does it interrupt, you know, a moment in time there? Should they be switching course? I don't know what the big picture vision is, what they really see their team as at this point in time. I think there's a possibility it surprises people, but, you know, there are legitimate questions with depth, especially.
I think it is. There's a lot of reasons why they should probably do some kind of reset and build around the younger people. But they're so committed to Xander Bogaerts and Manny and Musgrove. So it's like, those guys aren't, I don't know. I mean, they can't waste their last few seasons of being in their, I would still say they're in their prime. Maybe they're entering their post prime, and they're committed to them for like eight, you know, a long time. So they're in this weird position. And, you know, that's something that we've talked about a lot on the podcast. It's like, you know, Peter Seidler, you know, so much hanging over the season is, you know, the memory of Peter Seidler and his vision and everything that he did for the Padres. But, you know, that's something I'm questioning, is like, what decisions were being made at the end of his life that we're going to have to deal with in the next decade or so? Cause I mean, you know, it's Xander Bogaerts and Manny are going to be here, and they're getting older. And yeah, I don't know. It seems like with the catching position, what I would do, you know, it seems like the idea is to keep Camposano and make him an asset and keep him developing so they can, you know, be a stop holder for when Salas comes up. I don't know if you got to see him at Elsinore last year, but
I didn't, but I just, everything.
Oh, I've read, my God.
He's really special.
Yeah. He was you could not get him out. You know,
people outside of the team are like, hey, look, if we saw him by the end of this year in the majors, we wouldn't be shocked. And it wouldn't be like a joke. It wouldn't be a bit. It would be he's a legit special talent.
Yeah.
So, when you have that kind of potential with a young group, I mean, Tatis is 25.
Yeah.
It just makes you wonder, like, with baseball's economics, would some team want to get Machado and or Xander? What would it take to move on from them? What teams would be in the market for it? Why? It's so complicated, and you can't. I just don't know what kind of funds they really have. What's going on with the rights deals with media?
The trust, yeah.
All this.
Yeah, well, I mean, on the Dodgers side, I mean, how did Dodgers fans process the last few years? I mean, in knowing that they do have more financial flexibility and they have, these new people coming in. They had Ohtani coming in and Glasnow, and I mean, what's the perception of what this team is? There's been some shortcomings in the postseason, 2022. Included, but Roberts is still the manager, and is the central focus of the fan base really looking at, like, is this guy the guy still, or is that not even?
I think that that's some people inside and outside the organization. I tend to be, look at it from a standpoint of last season, the last postseason. I don't know how bad the hitting would have continued to be. I know that it didn't have enough time to figure it out because their pitching was so awful going in. Like, their pitching staff was decimated. They had, last year, it was just like the getting to 100. I have no idea how they were able to squeeze that out of that pitching staff because they didn't have a legit number one pitcher last year. I mean, Bobby Miller, you could argue, was their best starter going into the postseason, and he was a rookie making his, 10th start.
Yeah.
So the biggest thing, I think, for people who are like, hey, people who aren't going to just say, well, it's the manager. I think what they've done with the pitching staff to address it is what's going to matter ultimately. Like, are they going to be able to not have Glasnow break down? He's only pitched, 160
games
last year. But it looks like they're on the six starting pitcher plan, six man rotation. They're going to try, they've attacked the arms thing, at least in the starting pitching thing, with numbers. But their bullpen is like a bunch of 35-year-old guys. That's the funny part. I don't know if you've seen. So it'll be funny to see like what their pitching staff is at that point because they should score runs.
Yeah.
I mean, Teoscar Hernandez in there along with Ohtani, and Will Smith looks great. The other, I mean, obviously the massive question is like how bad are they going to let the infield situation look? At what point are they going to be like, nope, got to pull the plug on this. We got to overpay and move Lux and try to get a legitimate shortstop to put in there and move Mookie back to second. Lux can hit, and I think he's going to hit a lot. So he's an asset, but that's like the multiplier with the pitching, right? The worse your defense is on the infield, the more chances you are to get additional pitches on your starting pitching. Additional innings and wear them out sooner. So it's not just about run prevention with defense. It's about pitching staff protection. And also, Freddie Freeman protection because, man, Lux makes him dig out of routine things all the time.
Well, isn't it Muncy at third?
Yeah,
Muncy at third. He's okay, but he's not an all-star bearable third baseman.
No, he's bearable out there. That's But you can only get away with him if your shortstop is – really solid, and Mookie can make most of the plays, but he's not a natural one there. And
he's a perfect second baseman.
I haven't followed it, but like, what is Mookie just like, put me wherever, I just want to help? Is that basically what he's not saying anything? And
he's not complaining at all.
He
can play it, but it's not like he's great at it. He's a really good second baseman. He's a really good second baseman. But he's not a really good shortstop. He's a solid shortstop. And you need someone better than that probably next to Muncy. But you also, you're still getting Lux out on the infield. And so that's the biggest issue rolling into the season.
Yeah, it's weird. I feel like Lux has been a developing talent for like 7 years now.
Because he lost that whole – it was supposed to be his, last year was supposed to be his breakout year. And instead, he blew out the knee. And,
Right, the injury.
yeah, he should be somebody's outfielder, probably. You know, his
Right.
best case scenario, somebody's left fielder.
Well, in our infield, we have the, when Manny's healthy, he'll be the third baseman, and it's so Ha-Seong Kim is the shortstop, and they've moved Bogaerts over to second. It's not very clear how happy he is about that, but he's doing it. And I don't know. It seems like now in Major League Baseball, it's just sign as many shortstops as you can and figure it out later. But then you also have to figure it out later, and it's like, I don't know how this is going to work. I mean, you have
Yeah.
they extended Jake Cronenworth, and they've made him a first baseman, which takes his value down because you
Well, they're
can
the
probably,
opposite ends of the spectrum. You have all
yeah.
the shortstops on the Padres and absolutely none on the Dodgers.
Yeah,
They,
that's
I
true.
mean, they just yeah,
That's funny. I didn't think about that.
they're derelict with it. Yeah, it's hysterical.
That
It's
is funny.
the one
Meanwhile,
where
Corey Seager's going to the World Series.
yeah,
They're
exactly.
winning the
And
world.
Trey Turner
Winning.
wasn't bad last year either.
Yeah, MVP.
But those
Yeah.
guys, I mean, we're seeing why they didn't sign those either one of those guys, right? That was Ohtani money down the road that they were holding off on.
Yep.
Well, yeah, this is going to be a fascinating season, especially in San Diego for the it'll be the first season without Peter Seidler, and this week they had a memorial. I don't know, did you get a chance to go down there?
I didn't
The
get to go to the memorial, but I watched that. We had Steve Price was out at Gallagher Square yesterday, showing everybody the updates at the kind of
so
makeshift fan fest since they had to cancel because of the rain.
yeah, and the Gallagher Square unveiling, it's a new thing, so people have takes on it, but it seems like we're turning the page in Padres history and San Diego sports history. And I don't know, what do you think the future this year is gonna be like around town? I mean, it seems like there's still a healthy, excitement about the team. It's opening week, so
I
that's part of it, but.
think the Padres, especially as far as attendance goes, are getting close to being bulletproof. I think that Petco is such an experience. We have so many out-of-towners, people who have, people have moved to San Diego, and so many people who they're not natives, and so they'll go see a game for their hometown team or their favorite team, and people will travel to San Diego to see games, and it's a premier destination on its own to go watch a baseball game. It is absolutely awesome. Like no nobody
Yeah.
it's awesome. It's you go and sit down and especially if you get a twilight game, you look at downtown and you just soak that up. It's incredible to catch a game there. And so I think there's they're never going to just bottom out attendance wise. I don't know if they'll hit 3 million or right close to it every year, but I think they've got a certain amount of buffer there. So that they've got that to build around. Got to figure out what the media rights thing is. I don't know what that's going to be between Padres TV and are they going to have any broadcast? It's, I don't know. I have no idea, and I'm really curious to see what that looks like. And then it's again, like you said, it's the transition out of Seidler. Who's really making the decisions? Are we in a? They're not telling us it's a moment in time, and they're going to look for somebody to buy. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
They haven't shown those cards, and I don't know.
Yeah. I think the central story of the season should be, does this new ownership group or ownership leadership under ownership, how are they going to evaluate the totality of Preller's tenure here? And is this the end of it if it doesn't work out? Are they going to hold on to whatever Peter told them to do? It's all very vague to us, and we don't really know. But and that tracks with Preller's personality. It's all kind of vague, and you don't really know exactly what he's thinking. But yeah, I think it's gonna it's a very pivot. Yeah.
I just want to interrupt because I mean you guys have done, but I just do want to say, just what a tremendous loss for San Diego and not just Peter Seidler. I met him a couple times over the years at JDRF events. He supported Type 1 research and supporting families dealing with it. Obviously, had a very personal connection to that. Just a gracious man, somebody who really obviously. Didn't buy a team to show it off. He was trying to win with it. He was trying to give people something special. And just all around, I've only ever experienced and heard great things about him. So just for Padres fans, man, I'm sorry we lost him because really a great guy.
Yeah, it's still kind of unbelievable. It doesn't seem real, and you know, he really brought the city in. He was like, "This is my party, and you guys are all invited, and
Yeah.
come on down, and we're gonna try to do this." And it just felt like he was human and a fan at the same time. You know, just now the uncertainty is like, are the people in charge? Do they have that experience with baseball? Do they feel the same way? And you know, we don't want them to be inauthentic and try to be something they're not. But I guess it all, you know, like in all sports, it's just what happens on the field usually dictates the decisions that'll be made afterwards. So we'll have to wait and see. Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating season. I mean, my big thing that I'm looking for, I don't know, I think we've talked about this, Travis, is that I'm looking at Tatis this year a lot, and I want to know if this guy is going to be the superstar that was presented to us. And if that's, I think it's a big year for him, and
Yeah.
he put it together last year in the outfield and showed a lot of maturity in that way in taking on that role and, you know, being great. But this year for me, it's, you know, this is his 25-year-old season. He's had a lot of experience, but I really want to see if, like, what is this 25 to 30 stretch going to be? And I hope it's exciting and what we thought it could be the whole time.
I was not buying Tatis Jr. stock before last season. I was really down on him because of the off-field stuff, the way he handled it, the way he seemed to take it. And it really, you know, to his credit, looked like he came in last year really with the attitude of, I'm going to win back fans. I'm going to win back trust from the organization, from everybody. And he really showed me that he deserved to be invested in again. And yeah, you know, age 25, you would think like this is, he should be putting out like an MVP caliber year this year. You would expect that of him. We should expect that of him. He's that kind of talent. There's no reason not to expect that of him. And if he does, you know, who knows what the heights really are? You get into the postseason and you got a guy
Totally.
like him, stuff happens. You got Dylan Cease, you got Musgrove, and you got you know, in a series, those guys are all guys who can shut people down and get you through a series. So it just, they have interesting bones. It's just a matter of, man, that 162 game stretch with everything is just, it's hard to envision right now. Like they're predicted to finish basically 500. So, you know, I don't know if that's because people just can't figure them out or people have lower expectations.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's also just the division is so strong
Yeah.
in all, pretty much all aspects. So it's something we'll be watching it all season. Hey, Carlo, thanks for coming on. That was a lot of fun. And you know, we gotta meet up at Petco sometime coming up.
Absolutely. We will
Yeah.
do.
Dodger seasons, or you're gonna be at the first Dodger series. So we'll
I
I think
am. I got I was I well not the
nice.
first well the yeah, I am on the Friday night. It looks like I'm
Cool.
going. I got invited, so I'm excited, man. Let me tell you,
Yes.
I would not have been able to drop for those tickets, man.
I
They're
know,
gone
right?
for my
Yeah.
goodness.
Yeah,
He's got
it's.
to, it's gonna be like that everywhere for them, the traveling circus,
I
I
think
think, this
so.
year.
For the Dodgers, oh yeah, for
It's
sure.
just Ohtani's just, you bring your grandkids to see Ohtani. Like you bring your kids to see, you tell your grandkids you saw Ohtani. I guess that's
They should play the
it.
everywhere they go to on, you know, the first inning when they're taking the field, they should play the Star Wars Imperial March, just
Oh,
like
yeah.
they hate the Empire. Like they
I
should make them embrace it because they leaned into it with the spending this year.
mean, right next to Disneyland, you should do it for
Yeah,
sure.
absolutely.
It's too close to the Angels. All right. Well, yeah, thanks for
Gross.
coming on, Carla. Thanks for
Always a
coming on,
pleasure.
Carla.
Best of luck.
We'll track this season and, you know, see how the Dodgers and Padres are always a fun. I think it's one of the better rivalries, if I can call it that, in sports. So we love talking about it. We love using them as a barometer for where we're at. I think that's not the healthiest thing, but
And
that's
they're
the
a
way
really easy team to hate right now.
Yes. Yeah.
And I can understand, you know, that whole old Yankees mantle. It's like, yep, I get it.
Yeah. Well, so right now we're gonna check in with me and Dallas went to Las Vegas this year and or this last weekend, and we made a little recording. He wasn't able to come onto this pod, so but we wanted to get his preseason thoughts on the season coming up. So check us out. This is Dallas and I at a Tesla charging station in Barstow talking about the future, the season. So yeah. So check it out. And thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. All right. Bye. Cash, cold, that's what I need.
Check, 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 check. There we go. Hey.
All right.
Put some volume behind it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's LFG. Hey,
Barstow, California.
Barstow. Tesla supercharging station at Barstow.
So we're in the car. We're on the way back from Las Vegas, Dallas.
We were there with Otani.
Otani was...
We were there just hanging out of the sports book.
We're like, hey, bro, go to bed. You're up.
I know, dude.
Go to bed, Otani.
A lot of people taking pictures, Otani.
Yeah, a lot of Dodgers fans looking at you sideways, dog. Yeah, Why don't you go to bed?
Probably time to go to bed, Otani. But he laid a lot down on Formula One, that's for sure. Yeah.
And the guy, when he gets on the dance floor... He's got moves. That's all I can say.
He's got, I mean, surprisingly.
And when he sings karaoke, he has a voice like a goddamn angel.
Yeah, there are a lot of pluses to Otani that I wasn't aware of. And this gambling thing is really overshadowing the karaoke.
He's just fun. He's really fun.
He's a really fun guy.
Yeah.
He's a really fun guy. So anyway, we were just there with him.
Yeah, he's just killing it on Fremont Street because he's a real person.
Yeah.
You know? So Dallas said, you know, we got the season coming up on Thursday. What, besides the Otani stuff, you know, what's your prediction for this 2024 Padres team? We haven't heard from you in a while.
Full disclosure, Nick, we were in Vegas for our fantasy baseball draft, year 24 of said draft, said league. And I drafted Otani. I spent a lot of money on Otani. And so, selfishly, I need him to not be suspended for anything. He needs to be cleared of all charges. Although he's guilty as hell. I mean, he totally gambled. We all need to grow up for like 2 minutes. And just remember, he's a gambler. He gambled. He threw his translator under the bus. I'm sure this is some dude he just has carried around with him his whole life and has given him money. It's fine. He took the fall. He's going to get a nice, handsome payout. He already did. He's going to get a nice, handsome payout for taking the fall. But Otani's a gambler. And I don't care about it. As long as he didn't... Obviously, he's, like, super good at baseball. So it's like, was he throwing games? That's a problem. Was he betting on games he played in and doing well in those games? That's a different thing.
Well, I just hope that this ends with something. Maybe it's something vague, and we don't really know exactly what happened. He kind of gets to just play, and we kind of push it under the rug. But Padres fans can just use it against Dodgers fans as like a thing that we can always just say to troll them, which I think we deserve. We needed a win like this. I think we needed that. They have the Tatis steroid stuff. They have others, you know. Most of our history to troll us with. So.
Yeah, we should, as Padres fans, we definitely should make as big a deal as this as possible. Yeah. But he should be able to just at least play this season. And then when I drop him, when I don't keep him next season, you can suspend him. But this season, he should play, and we should really, really lay into Dodgers fans.
Yeah. I have a question for you. This weekend, the Peter Seidler Memorial happened at Petco Park. We could make it because we were crushing it on Fremont Street. And Fan Fest was canceled. But anyways, there's going to be
Fan Fest canceled?
Yeah, it was canceled.
I didn't know.
I think this was the weather. The weather was like...
Oh, okay.
Burgeoning or something.
Weird.
But the as far as the 2024 season, I mean, how do you think it's going to be, like, as a fan base... navigating the way the team is going to use Peter's memory. I mean, this whole season's going to be about doing it for Peter and everything's going to be... Do you think there's a line that could be crossed where that gets icky or kind of we're going to get overloaded with that, or I don't know. Yeah. That's one of the things that I'm curious about more than anything. Is like
I think it's nice to not have to think about 1998 probably for a while because of it. So that's pretty nice.
Peter is the new 1998. I'm not the first one to say that.
Won't be the last. It's very weird when you have somebody like Peter Seidler die, somebody that we didn't really, you know, we didn't know at all. I met him years ago, at like one of the first ever Padres social nights or whatever the hell they did. Uh-huh. And in passing. So it wasn't even like we sat and talked. So I don't know him at all. I wrote something about his death for the Kept Faith, and a lot of people wrote stuff or said stuff, and I feel like that was icky in itself. Like, I feel weird writing what I wrote about somebody that I had nothing to do with. And what I wanted to celebrate in that piece is, like, he made me excited about Padres baseball. Uh-huh. And that's all he wanted to do. Like, the guy really obviously wanted to win. He wanted to bring a championship to San Diego. And that is nice and refreshing. And I like that. And that made me happy. And that's what I wanted to write about. I stayed out of any of his personal stuff or anything like that. Yeah, I just, like, that's when it starts to, I don't know, like, I don't want people to use it as, like, you know, we're, like, fans, like, we're doing this for Pete. Like, why are we doing it for Pete? We're doing nothing. And two, like, we don't have any connection to him. Like, Manny and Pete obviously got along very well, right?
Yeah, he paid him a lot of money.
To have a really good relationship. Tatis seemed to have a really good relationship with him. Xander, all these guys seem to really like Peter. I mean, he gave them all a lot of money, so that's nice. But, like, they wanted to play for him, you know? And I think that they can be like, we're doing it for Pete. Like, sure, they can make those claims and say all those things. And I think that we can be like, win this for Pete. But when the language starts to change to, like, we're a part of this somehow, like, I think that's when it starts to get really, really weird.
What I want to track over the next few years is how we look back at his decisions before Peter died. I mean, the success that they had at the end of his life and the commitments they made financially, are we going to celebrate it now while those contracts are still valuable and you know, those guys are still useful, but you look at like Bogarts and Yu Darvish and I guess Jake Cronenworth and extending Manny. Could this organization be held back by these decisions of him, of Peter? I mean, it's his money, it's the decisions he made at the end of his life. Could we change the way we feel about Peter when we zoom out from his whole body of work as owner, where you have the beginning of his tenure where they're not spending a whole lot of money, then they have this good period, and then he dies, and then we have all this, what could be a really rough period after, you know, where we're still held back by some of those decisions. That's something that I just want to watch and see how that evolves. Like,
yeah,
will this kind of, we don't know how this trust or, you know, the new people in charge are going to actually spend. They've cut payroll this year, and you know, is that going to continue? And will this core that Peter wanted to keep in place, will they deliver even, you know, going forward? I don't know.
I don't ever really blame the owner for the team construction. I mean, he's just signing off on this stuff that the general manager is bringing him. I think Peter's biggest sin and Ron Fowler's biggest sin has been trusting AJ with, you know, just reckless abandon, I think. You know, he's bringing these I don't think you can look back at Peter and think negatively, even if this all doesn't pan out. Like, you can't really look back and go, well, it was Peter's fault because the players weren't good. Like, that's not the case. So it's like, if these guys underperform, it's not Peter's fault that he gave them money. Like, you know, you look around at the market and who's getting what and how much. Like, yes, he overpaid for Xander for sure. They all overpaid for Xander for sure. That was a big mistake. I don't think they really made huge mistakes with Jake and you. But you could make that argument. Yeah. You know, like, I'm just saying, like, I think that it's a lot. I think it's a lot less cut and dry than people think. And, like, if they're going to look back at his spending and go, well, he totally messed up, then it's like, that's just a stupid take. That's not, like, you know, whatever. Like, Then what did you want him to do? Not do anything? And then you would just complain that he didn't do anything. He was a lazy owner who didn't do anything. Like, yeah, it's how people just want to complain.
Well, I mean, you look around at like the National League West, and obviously the Dodgers are favored to win it all, win this, even with or without Ohtani, honestly. I mean, and the Diamondbacks will be better. Giants should be better. I mean, it's going to be a really competitive division, and I don't know what direction the Padres are in. I mean, they signed Dylan Cease, or they acquired Dylan Cease. I mean, I don't think that's going to change too much of where they're going to be at. But
I think it's good.
Yeah, I know. I like Dylan Cease. You know, I don't. He's a guy. He's established. But
He is a guy. Yeah.
He struck out people in the major league.
He has done those things.
Where do you think the Padres end up record wise, like in 2024?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be a lot better of a year than people think. I had nothing against Juan Soto. I think Juan Soto is a generational talent. I think we still do that trade no matter what. But at the same time, I think that the record would show that we were a better team without Juan Soto. And I am excited to see what happens now that we don't have him. And it's not, and again, that's not Juan Soto's fault. There was something off when he was a part of this team. Something didn't click. And it's not on his shoulders. It's not his fault. It's just there was something that wasn't connecting. Manny had an off year. It seems like there was just a lot of clubhouse weirdness. And so now it's, you know, it's definitely back to being Manny's team. Soto's gone. This is Manny's team. Tatis is the younger brother. And it's, I think we're going to be seeing a team that's hungry, that wants to win, that wants to prove everybody wrong, that they didn't need Juan Soto. I think you're going to see a lot of a lot of hustle this year. I think there's a lot of young guys. Like, we look at what the Diamondbacks did, and like, look at the two teams that were in the World Series last year, the Rangers and the Diamondbacks. Those teams and their construction look a lot more like the Padres this year than the Padres last year and the year before that when we went to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of young guys trying to make their way, a lot of, you know, veterans that have come in that are contributing. That's the roster construction that has been working for these teams. You know, so I'm excited about it. I love the fact that they're letting Jackson Merrill play. I love that they're having him play in center. Like, that makes me so excited. Like, I think it's great. My fear is that he's going to have a shitty, you know, May, and they're going to demote him right away, and he's going to be crying. You know, they're just terrible at handing players. So it's like, I'm just so scared they're going to screw him up like they screwed up C.J. Abrams, and they screwed up, you know, Mackenzie Gore. Like, they're just not good at Campy. I mean, God, they screwed over Campy for years, and now it's like, okay, he's the guy. He was great last year. He's the guy. Like, but how long did it take him to get to that decision? So it's just, for me, I really want Jackson Merrill to just be left alone, see what he can do. Obviously, if it gets to the point where it's embarrassing, then you make a decision. But if he hits 220 into June, he hits 220 into June. He's super young, like, figuring out a new position. Let him go, you know?
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I feel this way, and I think a lot of the fan base feels this way, that like, last year we're okay with saying that was just a weird year that didn't work out for us. But I think it is a big year this year for Manny and Tatis and Bogarts and Musgrove. I think those are the four. That's really the core four. They're going to be here for a while. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think I speak for everybody. I think you too. It's like, so what the hell is this going to be? Like, are you guys going to do this? Or you know, I don't. Yeah, Soto might not have gotten along with everybody, or, you know, he's not really committed in the same way. But, like, okay, he's gone. Now you guys are the four leaders of the team. And is this going to be a disaster? And I don't know. I think it's a big make-or-break year for Tatis. I mean, this should be his athletic and experience, you know, peak, that he should be in the MVP conversation every year. Like, every year he should be in this, from 25 to 30. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, I thought, I was really impressed with him last year with what he did with the outfield, you know, taking over a new position and being really good at it and not making it a problem. But, like, you know, we're not going to have this peak athleticism from him forever. And I want to see him play 155 games and really dominate the National League. I don't know. I mean, I think he has. This has to happen now. Otherwise, it's just gonna we're gonna throw him on the pile of another just the rest of the guys that AJ didn't handle correctly.
Yeah, I mean, like it is. You know, we were talking on the drive out that it's like this has been one of the years I've been like the least interested in following spring training. I haven't even really been paying attention. And it's not because I'm not excited about the team. I'm more excited about the team than I was last year. Because I know it sounds dumb, but I've been a Padre fan since, I don't know, I was 5. And I've been watching Padre baseball forever. And I remember having to sit through the Klesko teams and the Nevin teams and the Bubba Trammels and Mark Kotze and then even later, the young Verse Solarte and the freaking, you know, we had to get excited about Will Venable for a decade. Like, you know, we had to sit through all of this stuff and they had to like trick us into like liking these guys. But at least those guys, we knew what we were getting. It's like, you didn't think you were going to be getting into the playoffs with Solarte. And if we did, great. What was that guy? Davy Cruz. Remember Davy Cruz? Like, we weren't going to get into the playoffs with Davy Cruz. But, like, you know, whatever. Like, we're watching Padres baseball. It's fun. This is what it is. And, like, last year and the year before that, you know, it's like we spent all this money. We did all these big trades. And they just sucked. You know, we had that great Dodger series. And that was it. And it's like we, you know, last year was such a bummer that it was just like, I was just very, very bummed at the team, like sad at Padres baseball, not interested in following it. I just needed some time away.
Last year ended with them, they still had a shot for like most of it.
Yeah. And then they just couldn't do it.
They didn't have any confidence it was going to work. It just felt like a death. It was a dying animal that was going to just, but it was holding on till the end. And it just made it so jarring. I don't know. I hope it's a lot more fun this season, you know, but I don't know.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like I'd rather watch a guy like Jackson Merrill try to figure it out. I'd rather watch and see if Profar can handle everyday duties. I'd rather, you know, see Manny return to form a little bit, even though, you know, he didn't have a terrible year last year, honestly.
Let's see what we got from the Soto trade, like these pitchers that are coming.
Michael King. Yeah, I want to see Michael King. I want to see Dylan Cease. Like, I'm excited about these guys and watching them, what they can bring to the team. Rather than like the same old narrative of like, well, we have this super team, so we better be good, because right now we still have a pretty freaking great team with Bogarts and Tatis and Manny.
Kim.
Yeah. You know, it's not like it's a bad team. So it's like we still have this good team. It's just now it's up to them to just prove to me that it's worth paying attention to.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. This this season is a big one. It's going to be the first without Peter Seidler.
You say 88 wins.
88, okay.
88 wins is what I'm predicting.
Yeah, my prediction is that they're going to win a few more games than net last year, and they're going to miss the playoffs. So it'll be like a win. We're improving. You know, we're a winning baseball team, but I don't know if it's enough.
I don't think we win the NL West. Enough. I think we can grab a wild card, but 88 wins.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, hey. Faith, dude.
Keep have the faith.
Keep it, have it, live it, love it.
360 shove it.